Yes, we can't give them faith, but we can pray for them. We believe in prayer. Prayer is powerful. And even ask members who are not of your faith to pray for you. Any good believer in God, they pray to God, God answers. God hears their prayer. And if enough of good believers, I don't care if they belong to 100 different religions, if they get together and pray, it will get God's attention more than 100 from one religion getting together and praying. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I will not tell you anything that is not supported by our holy book, by the tradition of our prophets, and by our truthful scholars and preachers of Islam. The dress code for women is to cover the whole body, leaving out the face, the hands, and the feet if they choose to not to cover their feet. That is what we have in our religion from the Quran and from Muhammad, the prophet who preached it and lived it, for us to know how to preach it and live it. That's all. So, now, understand this, that in that time, that was the dress of women. Even the bad women wore long dresses in the days of our prophet. The prostitutes even wore long dresses in the days of our prophet. So he was not telling them to come into a dress that they were not already wearing. So the Quran comes and addresses the dress that they were wearing, and it says, women of the family of the prophet, obligated both, when you go out in the public, take your overpiece that goes over that the women would wear over their heads. It was like a shawl they would wear over their heads when they went outside. And in that part of the world, you need it to protect against the sun. You need it for more reasons than just modesty, sexual modesty. Says take that it's called khimar in Arabic, and it means a big piece of cloth, square shaped, big piece of cloth, a rectangular shape. Take it that the women wore over their heads when they were in the public. Say, take it, and believe me, it was used to seduce men too, that shawl. They would take it, and they'd have it like this, and when they like you, they do this. So our modern fast flashers, don't think you started that. In medieval days, they were flashing. So it says, take your khimar, this headpiece, and cover your bosom. Because the women would go out and they would be wearing long dresses, but you could see their bosom. So this is not modesty in Islam. You must cover your bosom. So what is really the dress requirement for women? That you be modest, that you do not be indecent in public. That's the dress. That's really the dress code. Now, they didn't wear pants like we wear, I don't think, like women wear. My suggestion to women, if they like pants, wear pants. There's nothing wrong with pants. Pants meets the requirement. Just cover, let the pants go all the way down to the ankles. It meets the requirement. Pants, wear pants, be modern looking, look dressed up. Look like you got your outfit out of the Paris fashion book. Fine, we love you. Let us in America, this is my preaching. Let us in America identify with Americans. Don't dress and look like a foreigner. We are Americans. So we should dress like Americans. But Muhammad the Prophet was here, he wouldn't have this problem that we have in the world, from Muslim world, that we expect to, that we think it's our religious obligation to dress like a Pakistani or to dress like a Saudi. There's no religious obligation on us to do anything but dress modestly and wear the clothes of the people that you live among, that you identify with. That's my suggestion, that's my preaching. And be modest and decent like our Christian-loving people from the South were when they first came up to Chicago. They were modest and decent. And if they saw any girl out with a breast showing with her clothes that expose her or expose her sexual armor to the public, they would say, "Oh, look at that! She looked like an old hussy. She looked like a prostitute." That's what they would say. Well, that's gone now, but that's the way it was when I was a boy. And believe me, I can look at boobs, and they don't affect me when I'm preaching. The spirit is powerful. Boobs won't reach me when I'm preaching. I'm not hearing you. I'm sorry. I'm not hearing you. I'm sorry. Can you? Men. In their physique.
Right.
And in their wealth. Yes. It's still true, but it's just disappearing. Is there another? Any other reasons for the inequality? No, because I had to think, because men are to give God's spirit to the world. You say the Holy Ghost in Christianity. Men are to communicate God's spirit to the world. And Adam was created, and he was not recognized by some of the angels and the jinn. In Islam, there's a jinn race too. There's a human race, there's a jinn race, and angels. And so God told them that when I have breathed into him, man, the Adam, of my own spirit, then you bow to him. That is, accept his leadership role that I'm giving him. So God didn't obligate the angels and the jinn race to recognize man's role as leader in the earth for God, to communicate God's message and his spirit to the world, before God gave of himself, of his own spirit, to man. So that tells me that before God gives his spirit to man, from himself to man, man and jinn are equal. Man has no right to be over jinn until God breathes into man his own spirit. That gives him a superiority over the jinn race. I can't say jinn and Gentile are the same. I can't say that. I've thought about it, but I can't say that. I don't know exactly how the church sees Gentile, so I can't say that. But I have a suspicion that jinn and Gentile are the same. Now, where does man get this spirit? How did he come by this spirit? God says that he made the man from the earth. He made him from earth. Man is made from earth. And he said he made earth to bear every life and to give us all of our the things that attract us and fulfill our appetites, our aspiration, and bring us together to meet. These things that the earth grow will bring us together to meet. It will bring all of us to meet together one day, and this is the time when all the men all over the world have to meet together now. And he says, in the earth you will die, and from the earth you will be raised up again. You will be resurrected. Now, what is the earth? Earth is mother. It's our first mother. Earth is mother. We call it Mother Earth, Mother Nature, Mother Earth. So, woman now is given as a symbol to man, and she's serving man in the role of mother after Mother Nature. Man is born of the natural environment, but then man is born of woman. Woman has responsibility for giving birth and guiding us on the right path and preparing us to be grown men, accepting our responsibility in the society. So we say in Islam, women are the first teachers. Women are the first teacher. Our mothers are our first teacher. Our women are the first teacher. Now, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, messenger, prophet, Jesus Christ, he was not created from the earth like Adam. He was created from a woman, the second mother. We have the environment as our mother, the natural environment created by God as our mother, but now here comes the mother that's going to have a stronger role in our life than our environment down the road of man's progress and evolution as a society, as a social creature. So here we have the second mother now, and we have man born from to lead the world into a new... Another thing we should understand as students of higher education, we should understand that religion, these prophecies, when they came, do you think they said, I can't listen to anything that the world is saying? I can't look at what the world is saying. No. They were creatures of their environment too. And God guided them to select from the best things in the environment to keep the progress of excellence going. So this idea was with the Greeks and with the Egyptians before it was with Jews and Muslims. Thank you. They have
separate
roles, past roles.
Yes,
right. That the natural environment was responsible for.
Okay.
And our physiology, the difference between male and female physiology.
Okay,
you also you're created physically to bear our children, to reproduce our race, reproduce our family, and to provide an environment for the recreation, another creation of a human being. You, the mother, we are created in your stomachs, inside your bodies. Okay? So your physiology is different from ours. Sometimes I wish I could have that experience. I wish I could grow a baby inside my stomach. I just want to see how it feels and have that great sense of, oh, I've got something created here. A human being is being created in me, and I'm going to see it after 9 months. So, oh, buddy, would I have a time. I would celebrate it. I'd ask my friends all over the world. I'd say, hey, come from everywhere and see my new baby. We are to see the innocent femininity and innocent masculinity as sacred properties of the human family and respect it and try to preserve it, not let the two become confused where we can't see the role of male and female clearly in the society. We have to.
The African American community, that validation that where females are becoming more masculine, where they're doing jobs.
Yes.
Primarily
yes.
African American.
Yes. The but Satanist whispered into Adam again.
Okay, what do you believe is primary? What do you believe is the primary cause? Yes, the primary cause of that.
Is?
Yes.
Pop culture. The same evil that is addressed by Pope Paul II, he calls it the culture of violence, the culture of sex, the culture of drugs, etc. And it's not only him saying this, other religious leaders are saying the same in the international, to the international world, our family. It's because of pop culture, you know. If you confuse the picture of natural, of society in its natural state and innocence, with television showing the different characteristics of our social, of our social life, and how it's becoming destructive and irresponsible. If you show this to boys, young men, that have no job opportunities to earn money to help take care of their old mama, their old father, their sick relative or whatever, or the family that's left on them, or the family that has no other generator of income in it, if you show them that, and they see no opportunity better than drugs to get money that can take care of those needs, most likely most of them are going to go and they're going to make money selling drugs. And as they do these things, they lose the spirit that God breathed into man, his spirit. They lose it. Because we don't only believe that God reveals himself to the naked man, but we believe that everything is originally created, that in our original creation we already have something of the spirit of God. It says that when he created the world, he gave everything something of his spirit. How is that to be understood? It means that we came from a cause, and that cause left its effect on us. And the will, the interest of that cause is in everything he created, everything that he created. But if the picture of a natural society is confused for our people, for our young and old, then the computer is scrambled. The computer is messed up, you know. The wires are being crossed. Things are coming apart. And we can't register and communicate as we should anymore. So what happens to the male? The male confuses even the sexes. He's ashamed that he's not really the male. So he calls his girl. He says, "Come here, bitch. Come here, bitch." And she comes. And she says to her girlfriend, "Hey, guy." They're destroying the differences for the sexes. That's what they're doing. They're saying, "We want to destroy these differences because I can't live my true sexuality with all this pop culture confusion in my face and in my ears." That's the analysis of a lay psychologist. There was a hand in the back from the women. I didn't. Do you have that question still? There was a lady in the back on this right on this side. She had her hand up and. Okay, all right. So it's okay. So it's no. Okay, continue.
Couldn't someone argue that the reason for all this is just God's will?
Can someone argue that
the reason for all this happening is just that this is God's will?
Is that the society? Because it's God's will? Let me think about it for a second or two. Okay. Muhammad the Prophet says to us, he says, "Surely God is only good, and he accepts from you only good. You can do bad, but he won't accept it. God does not accept any bad. He is only good, and he accepts nothing bad." That's what Muhammad told us of God. And God says to us in the Holy Book, he says, "What reaches you of good is from me, and what is not good is from you." So I can't agree with you there, that this is the will of God. We know everything, nothing can happen except it be the will of God. But the will of God is to be seen in two descriptions. The will of God is what he wants for us, and it also is the freedom that he gives us. And his will is also our freedom. So we have two ways of expressing the will of God in Islam. We say, "Oh yes, I would do that if it's God's will." And we also say, "Yes, I will do that if God permits. So God permits things that he does not want. He permits us freedom. And our freedom will bring things that God does not want. But we can't say that was originally in God's will, and is in God's will all the time, that we be free, that human beings be free. But we can't say that he wants the things that we do that are bad, or that he, it was his will that all these bad things happen. But whatever God has in his plan, whatever God has permitted to be in his plan, he also has a way of making it respect him. He's the God. So, our evil, he has given us the freedom to do our wrongs, to do our evils, but he has created our possibilities in such a way that our evils will wake up our sleeping good side. So if you are addressing that, brother, which we call the Qadr of God, the ordinance of God regulating the interaction of good and evil, so that good always conquers evil eventually. If you're talking about that he lets evil extend itself, multiply and grow, to shock the other side, so that the other side takes over. And each side, the other side takes over to deal with the great challenge of evil, the other side becomes stronger. Yes. If you mean that the possibilities for good and evil in the world is the plan of God, yes. Is that satisfactory? Thank you.
I had a question about how accurate or inaccurate do you think the public perception is of women in Islam?
How accurate and how inaccurate? Yes, and my honorarium has just gone up $5,000. I'm joking, he knows that. If we are really listening, and if we really are not uptight, I think we have to say that the media is doing a good job of presenting the picture of Islam and also these issues that we have for religion and for Islam, I would say, for Islam. Yes, the media is doing a good job. I get a lot of paper, and I advise you imams to do the same thing. The first word to our prophet was read. That's the first word God communicated to him, said read. So you are in a position to keep your congregations informed. But how are you going to keep them informed in an appreciable way if you are not reading the newspapers and not listening to what's happening on the news and television? You have to be like Malcolm. Malcolm had an organization, a national organization of newspaper clippers, clipping articles for him and mailing them to him, and also listening to the radio and not the television to see what's on the news that he should know about. And they would give this information to Malcolm. That's how come he was such an articulate and powerful spokesman for the Nation of Islam under my father Elijah Muhammad in those days. Yes, so you have to keep yourself stay informed. And if you stay informed, it will help you keep the right balance. It will help you not be uptight, because you will see that the newspaper now is much more valuable to us, the printed media, and also television and radio, much more valuable to us Muslims now than it was 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, because they're actually informing our public of what is Islam and what is not Islam more than we are. They're doing more of the job than we're doing. So my answer is that we take the picture of Muslims has come very close to what we want it to be in American eyes, in the American public eye.
And that includes the role of women in
Yes, ma'am. It includes the role of women. And the women from Afghanistan, you know, they were in a situation that was oppressive for any person of faith. For any person of faith. So they were oppressed there as believers in God. In Islam, they were oppressed. So now that they have been free to come over here, they have opportunity to flower as human beings and as females. And America is making us aware of that. Yes, I do believe that the woman's role, and the media is not saying that Islam denies them. It's saying that certain cultures of the Muslims deny them. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Comment on what the Quran has to say about war.
What Islam has to say about war.
Yes.
Quickly, a quick response is that Islam complements the best human nature that we have. And Muhammad was selected before, was selected from among pagans, idolaters, idol worshippers, for his human excellence. He was selected for his human excellence. He and a few others in that society back then refused to worship idols. They refused to pray to idols. They refused to worship idols. They had no idols in their homes. And they are called the Hanafi. They weren't a religious group as we understand a religious group. They were an intellectual group. They were an intellectual group that didn't believe in doing those things. They thought it was beneath man's value, his value as a creation. They didn't even believe in creation, I'm sorry. Beneath man's value as a life among animals to do those things. And God selected him because he didn't lie. It says that his own people said, Muhammad is a sadiq. He never tells a lie. The truthful. He never tells a lie. Muhammad is El Amin. Muhammad is the trustworthy one. You can trust him with your valuables when you go outside of Arabia. And they made him their bank and everything. So he said, so what is that a sign then? It's a sign to us Muslims that God creates us as he wants us. But our own mind and environment takes us away from the creation that God wants us to be. But originally, Adam and all of us are in the mold that God wants us in until something takes us out, our own rationalizing or the environment, temptations, etc. Then he revealed to him the religion. He revealed to Muhammad the right religion. As a complement, and as a complement to his life. Yes. So we'll give you the question again.
About war.
Yes. War. Sorry. My head is being bombarded. My son, who's my security back in Chicago area, he called and said he needs to speak to me on the phone. And I think that's bothering me right now. I can't keep up with what I'm doing here. War. Now, Muhammad disliked war so much that he didn't tell his followers we have to prepare to fight these people who are persecuting us and committing horrible crimes against us. He was once stoned in a place called Taif. He was stoned. He went there. It's a cool region. It's a high region in Saudi Arabia. And they had gardens, and they had food. And he wanted to convert them to Islam so they could share with those who didn't, the many who didn't have the good circumstances. And they stoned him. They let their children throw stones at him. And the report says as he was walking, they could hear blood in his sandals, oozing in his sandals as he would walk in the street. He went back home. He told nobody that they should be angry, not even be angry, not to mention declaring war. But after he was persecuted so much and his followers were boycotted, they couldn't get food, his wife died. He only had one wife at this time, and she died, Lady Khadija. May God give her peace. and be pleased with her. She died. Under those horrible circumstances, she died. Then God revealed to Muhammad, says, Muhammad, fight the persecutors. Then he started to get an army together. Fight the persecutors. And he got an army together, and he started fighting. But God told him, be not the aggressor, the first one to fight. Be not the aggressor. And he also told him to work for peace between the two. And if the other side shows any inclination to end the war, you too incline likewise. So Islam is not a religion that accepts war. It's a religion that only accepts war when there is no other option. And even during war, you are to work for peace. While you're fighting your enemy, you're supposed to be working to have peace with them. Yes, yes, sir. I see. Yes, sir. Oh, that's the lady. I'm sorry. I only saw the top of the head and the eyeglasses. I did go to Sudan some time ago, twice. I went twice. Yeah. Sudan?
Yeah.
Of Sudan?
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't tell you very much because I'm sure that the government invited us over there for us to see the picture they wanted to show us and for us to come back home and give America that picture they wanted us to see and bring back to America. So it was under circumstances that didn't permit me to feel that all the truth was being presented. Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am. I don't have a message from Sudan.
Our class time is up. I know students have other classes to attend, and I don't know what you are scheduled to do
yes,
next,
ma'am.
But